For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Communion service, one of the ordinances, one of the sacraments that Christ has defined for his church. And it is an integral part of what true and biblical worship is. It is part of Protestant worship, part of biblical worship, that we celebrate the sacraments, that we observe the sacraments that Christ has ordained, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We don't take them lightly. I think it is the great tragedy in so many Bible-believing churches. Both baptism and the Lord's Supper are viewed simply as extraneous parts or additions to a service. So often done thoughtlessly, so often done carelessly, so often done in a perfunctory fashion. And this ought not to be. It is an essential part, a necessary element in true biblical worship. Worship is to be spiritual. Christ made it very clear that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A worship that must be genuine. A worship that must be from the heart. That must be conscious. The Lord has given to us in this church, this church period, this dispensation under which the church operates, he has given to the church some visible aids, visible helps to worship. Under the Old Testament dispensation, the aids to worship were beautiful, they were complex. Under this dispensation of the gospel, those visible aids are profoundly simple. We have the water of baptism, and we have the bread and the wine of the Lord's table. But as we come tonight, I trust that we will take this as seriously as Christ has intended it to be taken. For we come with the mandate that Christ has given to us. For we have been commanded to come. The text that we have read in verses 24 and 25 give to us the imperatives that Christ has given to the church. We are to eat this, we are to drink this in obedience to the commandment that Christ has given. It is the operation of the church. Again, as Protestants, we do not believe in any private operation of the sacraments. There is no private baptism. There is no private celebration of the Lord's table. This is that which Christ has given to the church. And therefore, as we come together in this assembly to celebrate this wonderful picture that Christ has given to us, we come at His invitation. We come as His people. And the fact that we come together here is part of our public confession, our public affirmation that we are part of His body. And the communion is to be done by a community of believers. Therefore, it is an odd thing to me. It is a most unscriptural thing. And I'm going to take time now to digress into this line of thinking. But it is a very unscriptural thing for Christians not to be subject to the discipline of a church, the visible representation of that spiritual body of believers. So coming to this table by the mandate of Christ, we have a great privilege. But it is at the same time a great duty that we have to perform. For it is a command. And to refrain from coming to the table, to refrain from coming to the table is incongruous to what it means really to be a Christian. Neglecting the sacrament is an unchristian thing to do. It's a great privilege. But it is at the same time a responsibility and a duty that we each one have as believers to come to this table, to come in faith, to come meeting the requirements and the stipulations that the Lord Jesus has set down for us. But we do so. We do so because we have the right to do so by the mandate of Christ. We come to this table as a means of grace that Christ has given to us. This table becomes a vehicle through which God communicates His grace to His people. This is the visible word. Calvin spoke of the sacraments as the visible word. We have the written word that we preach, that we read. The sacrament's a visible word, that which is a portrayal of the word that has been written. And in Protestant practice, it is always the case, it should be the case, historically it's been the case, that the legitimate use of the sacrament always accompanies the written word of God. That's why we don't come and just sit down at the table without opening up the Bible. The visible word must always be in company with the written word, the word that is read, the word that will be expounded. But in company with the written word, the symbols before us are designed to convey the message of grace. There is no inherent grace. It does not have the power to confirm grace, but it does have the ability to convey that grace to our hearts. The written word of God is a means of grace. But the means of grace, that which communicates grace to us, is not the ink on the page. It is the Spirit of God taking that word that has been revealed to us, inspired to us. And as the Spirit of God then takes that word revealed, that word inspired, He communicates that truth, affirms that truth to our hearts. The Word of God written becomes then a means of grace, not the ink on the page, but the message that is being proclaimed. And so the sacrament tonight is a means of grace. Not that there is something inherent in the bread that conveys that grace, that confirms that grace. Not that there is something in the cup that magically will communicate that grace to us. But just as we take the written word and by faith the Spirit of God applies that and communicates God's goodness and God's word and God's grace to us, so tonight as we come to this visible manifestation of the word, by faith, God's grace will speak to us. To come to this table unconscious of grace is to be spiritually oblivious. To come to this table unconscious, unthinking about the grace of God that is communicated by the elements before us, is to be guilty of not discerning the Lord's body. That's the great warning. That's the great warning that the apostle sets down for us here as he expounds the proper observance of this table. The unworthy taking. Not referring to those that would come outside of Christ. Oh, that's a given. That's a given. But the very fact that we're at the table presupposes that we have a testimony of saving faith. The very fact that we've come to the table is that public affirmation, assertion to others that we belong to Christ. So it's a given that those that are at the table are believers. But even among believers, there is the danger of this unworthy partaking. And that unworthy partaking is defined very definitely and very specifically as not discerning the Lord's body. To come to this table without thinking, to come to this table without that differentiation between these elements and the bread and the wine that we might see somewhere else. To come to this table without the faith to look beyond the symbol, to actually think about, to discern the humanity of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, to come without that faith in the message that is being pictured for us. Sacrament, when properly observed, when by faith observed, as the Word of God written, becomes a means of grace to our hearts. But as the written Word, so the visible Word, has a message. In verse 26, we are told that this bread and this cup show the Lord's death till he come. And that word show has the idea very simply of announcing, of declaring. The Lord is declaring something through the bread, through the cup. We're to look at something. I say these are visible aids that the Lord is giving to us to help us worship Him. And as we hold, as our confession says, these sensible signs, that is, these things that appeal to the senses, something that we can see, something that we can touch, something that we can taste, signs that appeal to our senses. As we hold the bread, as we take the cup, we partake of those, it is imperative that we look, and we worship, that we look and we listen to what the Lord is declaring to us through this visible manifestation of His Word. I'm going to hold the bread. Bread speaks to us in the broadest sense of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is that bread that has come down from heaven. He is that manna that has been sent to us by which we are to live. Christ, the bread of God. And as we think of the incarnation, it reminds us and makes us think, and we must think, of the entire work that Christ came to accomplish in that incarnation. His work of obedience, His work of suffering, His life of misery. We're to remember here something of that body that was broken for us. Oh, taking us unquestionably to those closing moments of the earthly life of Christ, when that body in which He was born, and that body in which He grew, and that body in which He lived, that body in which He obeyed the law of God. When that body was smitten, that body was scourged, and that body was broken, he suffered in that body. Yes, it takes us indeed to those closing moments of the earthly life of Christ, but it speaks to us, I say, of his entire act of obedience, the entire work that he accomplished in the incarnation, his earthly sojourn of that incarnation, his obedience, his suffering, his misery. We must think about that. The bread is the visible word that is declaring to us the real humanity, the suffering humanity, the obedient humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come to this table tonight carefully and prayerfully and spiritually discerning the Lord's body. The wine, the cup, speaks to us obviously of the atoning blood. The symbolism in the color. We look at the deep red of the cup that we will hold. Does that not so vividly, so graphically, so pointedly speak to us and declare to us that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross? That blood of sacrifice, that blood that was shed as an atonement for our sins. It is important, therefore, tonight that as we come to this table, that we listen to the message that is being pictured for us in these visible signs. But that message, objective as it is, and it is an objective message, for it speaks of the reality of who Christ is and what Christ has done. But there is a meaning that must be subjectively applied and experienced to us all. And here again is the necessity of faith. For faith is what looks beyond what we see to the perfection of what is real. And tonight, if we fail to see the reality, we render these signs without significance. Tonight we come and we take the bread and we take the wine, and without faith we fail to see the significance. We reduce these signs ultimately to nothing but idols. It's faith. It is faith, a spirit-given ability that we need tonight, that we pray for tonight, for the Lord to enable us to look beyond those sensible signs to that wonderful spiritual message. The gospel message proclaims our union with Christ. It proclaims our consistent and our constant need of Christ. By faith, all of those benefits of grace can be sealed to our hearts. It's a means of worship. It becomes a means of praise. It becomes a step in our sanctification. To understand the significance and the depth of this, and this is why I say it's such a tragedy, that so often this is done in such a perfunctory way, without the thought, without the meditation. But it is why, as a church, as a session, we take seriously our responsibility to guard, to protect the table. This table is for repentant sinners who have a living faith in Jesus Christ, who have a proper understanding and appreciation for the message, who have the ability to discern between this and common food. That was the great error in Corinth. They couldn't discern between the bread and the wine and the normal and natural food of the feast. We must be able to see that what is before us is different. The bread is bread. The wine is wine. There's no change in substance. There's no change in the chemicals. Simple bread and simple wine. But yet by faith we understand that it is much more than that. It is that which we are setting aside and setting apart that we are consecrating for this very special use this evening. Let it generate worship. Obviously then, not for unbelievers, either those that are inside or outside the visible church. That's why we put the restrictions upon children. No particular age, but it is important that even the children have that ability to discern, to self-examine, to distinguish. It is the responsibility then of the session for those children, young adults, that are not yet part of the communicant membership of the body, if they so desire to come, that they meet with us, that we hear their testimony. Had a young man come this evening wanting to partake. I heard his testimony. I questioned him concerning the significance of the elements to make sure that there is understanding. We take it seriously. It's a wonderful thing that Christ has given to us. We do not want to betray it. We do not want to be guilty of not discerning the Lord's body. So a lesson in the sacrament to prepare us, to make us think about what we must think of this evening. The visible word that Christ has given to us.